Good morning. As part of our reflections through this process which we are undergoing, people are often asking, they are full of anxiety and agitation. To some extent, they've even got used to this idea, but still it is there in the back of the mind. What I would suggest is that we have got too much hypnotized now. It's like as if the whole mind of the world has been hypnotized by a event which is taking place on the outside. And the reason why we have been hypnotized is by the fear of death. If you look at it really squarely, if supposing the same, everything is the same, and this epidemic led to recoveries, we would not bother. It's just like another common cold where people get it and we recover. It's the same coronavirus, except that it's a much more dangerous kind of variety. Dangerous in the sense there is some degree of mortality. So it is because of that. Contagion itself would not have been a problem if there was no deaths reported or if the death reporting was minimal. So every time we see the figure jumping, we get more and more drawn into it, sucked as if into an abyss where there is death and inconscience. We are not even able to see the recoveries. We are not able to see that, you know, if you really look at the whole totality of situation, there are many, many aspects of life, but we are as if glued. Now, whatever be the reason for this, I need not go into it, but what is important is what we can do at our level. Now, what we have to do is de-hypnotize ourselves. See, in yoga, we are taught to one of the basic practices of yoga and one of the most profound experiences of yoga is to see the divine everywhere, to feel him in all things. But what is happening now? We are seeing the virus everywhere, the most invisible. And as somebody put very paradoxically, it's so strange that we have faith in the invisible virus but not in invisible God. Now one may say because it has effects. Well, the invisible divine also has effects. To those who have followed the path, who have invoked the force, who have gone through that way, know that even that has effect. Similarly, the virus has effect. So we have faith in the virus because of the effect. So we can equally see, have faith in the divine. But that is not the issue. The issue is that this state in which we begin to see darkness, hostile forces, the virus, adverse forces, or this or that, death, everywhere is a very pathological state of mind. What is needed is to this ability to concentrate on one point which leads to hypnosis. Literally, this is the way people are hypnotized. So we have been literally now hypnotized, not because anybody wanted to hypnotize us, not human beings, not politicians, not scientists. Everybody has been unwittingly sucked into this state of hypnosis by constantly focusing on this. Even the jokes, everything is centered around it, as if there is no other truth in the world. And the more we focus on it, this is the problem of hypnosis, the more we will see it, the more we will give it strength. You see, this is the whole secret of Bali's strength in the Ramayana. Whoever goes to Bali and starts fighting with him face to face, Bali has this uncanny power to suck away half his strength. So you are bound to lose. Ravana lost to Bali, Sugriva lost to Bali. And if anybody fought him in a face-to-face duel, he would lose it. And that is the reason why Rama has to shoot an arrow at him standing behind a whole row of these seven trees. So the seven tree we can take as the seven planes of consciousness, and he in his highest state, from there he shoots an arrow, and not in a face-to-face duel. Now face-to-face duel, in the sense that when we go in front of these beings, these forces, when we are constantly thinking of them, we actually lend energy. We don't realize we are, instead of flattening the curve, we are increasing it by meditating upon them. It's a kind of hypnosis or a reverse hypnosis, a dark spell which the force, whatever is working, tends to do. So what we have to do is, we have to now do the other hypnosis. And that other hypnosis, by that I mean to concentrate all our energies only on beautiful things. The beautiful things can be, there is health in all. All beings are happy. All beings may wake up tomorrow morning and feel healthy. Let everyone wake up and know that they are well, that they have recovered, that life becomes beautiful, that there is harmony, that there is love, there is unity. This is a thought. We can constantly have this thought in our head. It is so beautiful to have this thought. Every day we can pray for all the creatures, not just for human beings, not just for the sick, but for everyone. Not just people who are fighting an invisible enemy. But even those creatures, the animals, the birds, and this way we can have an expansion of consciousness and actually correct the real problem, which is an imbalance created by man. So let our thoughts and feelings now run in the direction of expansion rather than contraction around one point. Now, apart from this expansion, which immediately releases us from all kinds of issues, we can simply expand into the sky, we can expand into the ocean, or we can expand wherein we can imagine entire life of Earth in terms of space and time within us, or the entire space within us. It is an imagination, of course, but this leads to expansion of the consciousness where imagination becomes a tool. But if we have to focus and put all our attention, why not simply concentrate on the divine? On the divine as all mangalmay, sarva mangalmay, the most auspicious one, the most benevolent one, the divine who will never do anything which is ultimately not for our good. So let us use this wonderful opportunity, instead of being hypnotized by all that we see on the surface, to be rather hypnotized by the divine presence within, to become his slave, his servant, his lover, his devotee. As the Gita puts it, man mana bhav mad bhakta, become my minded, my lover, bow unto me, do madhya ji ma namaskuru. So, and where is he giving this advice? In the battlefield. So what Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, instead of being focused on, oh, these many people died today, this my dear one, that person in the enemy ranks, don't look at that. What is the advice of Sri Krishna given to Arjuna on the battlefield is the same advice that we should follow. Instead, he says, toward the end of the Gita, Arjuna, what I would recommend to you, you fight the battle, but what should be your inner state? Man mana bhav, mad bhakta. Become my minded, my lover and devotee. Madhyaji ma namaskuru. Let your thought, your feelings, your will, everything should be centered around me, surrendered to me. And then you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear of anything, of any consequence that may come to you. Because I will carry you through this great journey of life. This is why it's very interesting now, we see that somebody remarked very rightly so, that none of the religious leaders are coming out with a formula to cure it. Well, there is a formula, but it's not religious. It is not confined within religion. This is a formula, the great truth ever uttered by mankind. Sohamasmi, tattvamasi, yastu sarvani bhutani, atmanevanupashyata, sarvabhuteshu chatmanang, tato navijugupsate, in various ways, that all is in the divine, all is the divine, and all is the divine. So let us meditate upon this one state, that the divine is in all beings, in all creatures, the seen, the unseen, the seemingly good, the seemingly hostile, in all creatures. There is the divine. Then the divine is in all circumstances and events and situations. What seems to us good and what seems to us terrible. Even things which our senses cannot comprehend. The sight of death, disease, sickness, suffering, even in that, let me see the divine. And the divine is the most auspicious, the true, the good. With a small little incident, I would close. There is the story of an Ayurveda doctor who, when he used to take his own rounds, the patients used to respond very well. So much better than others. So his, people who were studying under him asked him that, what is the secret? You give the same medicine. He says, no, medicine is not the important part. When I approach a patient, all that I inwardly pray or say to the patient is that, O Sachidanand Brahm, why are you wearing this cloak of disease over your body? And the patient begins to recover. So let us remind ourselves and remind everyone and remind this world and sing to this world the glory of the divine name, of the wonderful presence that resides at the core and the heart of everything. And to live with this greatest formula, that all is in the divine and hence safe. The divine is in all. Hence, whatever be the changes in the journey, even life and death, we are carried through safely in the divine arms. And all is the divine. To the divine who has become all these appearances, he wears many masks to play with us. Sometimes it is the mask of a charming young boy, and at other times it is the mask of a terrible, dark and resplendent lady with flowing hairs. Let us not be frightened, because behind all masks it is the same luminous, wonderful smile. Thank you.